Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, Sophie Thompson, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Felicity Montague, Tony Maudsley, Susie Blake, William Hootkins, and Andy Hamilton.
Spring has come to Baltimore, but there is an uneasiness in the air. Yesterday, I saw an oriole tearing a worm to shreds. I'm not sure what that portends, but I reckon it's probably not good. 1770 continues to be the most turbulent of years. Red coats everywhere, especially in my attic, where I'm obliged by law to billet two of His Majesty's lobster backs, much to the chagrin of my daughter Mary, whose rebellious activities will, I fear, surely lead her to prison. Meanwhile, my older daughter Cora is already imprisoned in marriage to a man she does not love, to a man no one could love. For Ezekiel Spriggs is a prattle-spouting heap of lard. And that's being unkind to lard. As for the shop, the trade is,
Father! Guess who I've just seen at the livery? My Uncle Dan, your very own brother. Just blown in from Philadelphia.
By an ill wind.
Well, think on it, Father. If you hadn't chosen to be a run-of-the-mill, down-in-the-mouth, stick-in-the-mud shopkeeper, you could have had a life full of excitement and adventure like him.
Yeah, well, his life's just full of excitement and adventure because people are always chasing him.
Uncle said to tell you he'd be dropping by and let him... What are you doing, Father?
I'm locking away the cash box.
I bet he'll be full of stories and
I want you to stay away from him, son. Is that clear?
But he's so glamorous and funny and not like you at all.
I said you're to stay away from him.
Well, there's no need to talk to me like that. I'm not a child, you know.
Yes, I know that. But there's more to growing up than being 7 feet tall.
Morning, Samuel. Morning, mammoth boy. Have you heard what's been happening in Boston?
No, but I'm going to, aren't I?
My late husband, God rest his soul, has a second cousin who got this verbatim from an Oxdrovis scullery maid.
So it's got to be true.
Gospel. It seems radicals disguised as mangy dogs broke into the British larders, and what they didn't eat, they infected with dog lice. And they're calling it...
The Boston Flea Party.
What? No. The lice-infested mangy dog in the larder episode. What's wrong with you?
Why do I let her do this to me?
By the way, I'm returning this lemon.
Oh, you can't, Mrs. Arbuthnot. You've squeezed it flat.
I have not. It was sold to me in that already-squeezed condition by an unscrupulous merchant who should refund my money.
All right, Mrs. Arbuthnot, wait a minute. I gave you that lemon.
Well, then I demand compensation for the mental distress.
Oh, for pity's sake, you...
Good morning, citizens.
Why, it's the handsome captain and his pig-leg little tag-along.
Quiet, you wizened sack of wrinkles.
Well, I never.
And you never will again, you dried-up old biddy.
Sergeant.
Captain, he's just fighting his attraction for me.
She's at it again. Stop fondling my wooden leg, you perverted monstrosity.
We are trying to coexist with these people.
Well, she makes me puke, sir.
Enough, I say.
Yeah, but she...
Enough!
Very well, sir.
So, Mr. Oliphant.
She is a hag, though, sir.
Right, Sergeant. Go to your room.
If that's what you want, Captain.
Wait a second. That's what you want.
What? Stay in my room rather than march pointlessly through the cobbled streets on one leg.
Patrol is not pointless. It's important.
Oh, I'm tickled to be part of it, sir. In what way is it important exactly, sir?
Well, for instance, this morning, we are supposed to interview prominent radicals to try and ascertain the identity of this seditious pamphleteer, Spartacus. Which reminds me, I'll need to question your daughter, Mary, Mr. Oliphant.
You stay away from my sister.
I'll have to ask you not to tower over me like that, Joshua. Else Sergeant McGurk will teach you some manners.
Oh, yeah, right. Don't get my back up, whippersnapper.
Who said that?
Down here.
I know why you want to speak with Mary, Captain. Your britches are hot for her.
Madam, I can assure you, there's no heat in my britches. And certainly not for Miss Oliphant.
Oh, you wouldn't say that if you'd seen her naked like I have, sir.
What?
Oh, sorry, nude.
You can't talk that way about my daughter.
Oh, calm down. It was only an accidental glance through a tiny knot hole in the floor, yeah. Ooh, she's a pip, she is, yeah. Perky and bouncy as a sack of kittens. He must be very proud.
What?
To have a daughter with such a nice pair of tits, you know, must be really...
No, I really must protest the tone of this entire conversation. And look, you've upset Joshua.
Mary's got kittens?
No, never mind, Joshua.
Well, when did she get kittens?
Captain,
I apologize for any offense given. And may I assure you that your contrary daughter would be the last person for whom I would have these these...
Hot britches.
Yes, all right. Frankly, I find her nose far too aquiline. Her waistline far too slim. And her rose-petal cheek too highly flushed. if I were looking for companionship of some sort, which I'm not, I'd seek someone refined, someone more regal than... what's her name?
You know my name, you great horse son. You obnoxious British fart catcher.
Now, Captain, you might think that fart catcher sounds like a term of abuse, but in actual fact...
Madam, I really must protest at your immoderate, unladylike language towards one of His Majesty's...
Fart catchers.
This uniform should command respect. I am a representative of the British Crown, and in that capacity, I... Are you wearing perfume?
I always bathe in jasmine. Not that it's any of your business, sir.
I'm instructed to interrogate you. Perhaps I could ask you to please step outside.
Perhaps I could ask you to please piss off.
Now, piss off, once again, is another bit of a harmless local vernacular.
Please, miss, I have my orders.
Are you wearing cologne as well?
Just standard issue rose water.
How effeminate.
Mary?
What?
Can I play with your kittens?
What kittens?
Outside, now, please, Miss Oliphant.
Don't you touch me, sir! I'll brook no unseemly amorous advances.
I was merely escorting you. My hand just brushed against you accidentally.
Yeah, well, try it again and see what happens.
No, thank you.
No, go ahead.
Well, looks like there'll be no patrol for me. Shame.
Oh, no. One more thing to worry about.
What? Your daughter behaving like a shameless little minx?
Mrs. Arbuthnot, it's not your place to comment on my daughter's behavior.
Would you like me to comment on it, sir?
No, you just sit there with your foot up, helping yourself to my most expensive brandy.
Oh, well, if you insist. Thank you, sir.
Father?
What?
Why can't I have a kitten?
Cora, my sugar plum, whither art thou? 'Tis I, your lord and master.
Here in the kitchen, Ezekiel, I'm baking gingerbread.
Oh, more gingerbread.
Don't you like my gingerbread?
No, no, no. Each tub you make is more delightful than the last. I've come home at midday with more than gingerbread in mind, though I wouldn't say no to some afterwards.
Afterwards?
Cora, stop this coquettish teasing. We're married 1 month now. There are wifely duties to be performed.
I'm performing them constantly, sir. Cakes and puddings are cooling on every windowsill. There's nary a speck of dust on the floor. Your
That's
dinner
is... all well and good, my dear, but it is the duties of the nighttime I question.
Nighttime is Bible time.
And I respect that. It does you great credit, the hours you spend memorizing the good book.
What a glorious adventure it is. The Red Sea is about to part.
Yes. And along those lines, perhaps we could repair to the chamber.
The chamber? I don't understand, husband.
I'm here for you, Cora, an assignation, stealing a few moments from my busy schedule. I want to be taken now.
Taken? Taken where?
Across your Red Sea, to your promised land.
Honestly, Ezekiel, you're talking in tongues, and it's giving me a blinding headache.
Another one?
Alas, yes. Keeping house for you is a fatiguing proposition, and now I must lie down.
I'll lie down beside you, then.
No! What I mean is, ordinarily that would be a joy and a comfort, but it's best if I'm alone to thrash and moan hideously till the pain subsides. Now... Good husband, it would be best if you return to your important desk at the throbbing hub of the Weights and Measures office.
Very well. But before I go, perhaps I could have just a nice warm hug.
Better still, some nice warm gingerbread.
Oh.
Well, young nephew, your father won't approve of your being here with me.
Oh, I don't care what he thinks, Uncle. We had a row. He wouldn't get me a kitten.
Well, you stick with me, boy. You'll have kittens coming out of your ears. A round of drinks for everyone in the tavern, barkeeper. Hooray! Actually, you wouldn't happen to have a few coins handy, would you? I left my gold pieces in my other britches, which tore while I was rescuing a blind orphan from the clutches of a mountain lion.
Wow! Here.
No. Honestly, I...
I can't believe how you've grown.
Well, I was 3 when you last passed through town. I would have grown some.
Yeah, but you must be 7 feet tall, fella. You're nearly as big as my good friend here.
You mean that great looming hulk at the end of the bar?
He's not just any great looming hulk. That's the Cockney monster, Mr. Jimmy Sludge. Perhaps the meanest prize fighter in the known world. 112 fights, 100 knockouts, 12 deaths.
Did he say Jimmy Sludge?
Did he say deaths?
Yeah, famous Cockney monster.
He's with you?
That he is, my friend. A featured attraction of Dan Oliphant Enterprises. I'll be staging exhibitions with him all up and down the Chesapeake, along with cockfights, bear baiting, mud wrestling nuns.
Oh boy, muddy nuns.
He's a Goliath. I mean, I'm a Goliath, but he's like a Goliath standing on top of another Goliath.
Want to meet a genuine champion?
Boy, do I!
Jimmy, come on over and meet the kid who thinks you're a panty waist.
I never said he was a panty waist.
I'm jesting, Joshua. Just having some fun. Oh. Jimmy, he didn't call you a panty waist.
No.
He said you were as dumb as a stump and twice as ugly.
Whoa! Was that real fire coming out of his nostrils?
Just a harmless little party trick.
But the bar's scorched. He is scary.
Oh, don't be scared, nephew. Jimmy, you come shake hands with my nephew, who wonders what sort of troll your mother coupled with to spawn such an ungodly freak of nature. Jimmy, don't make me lash you again. Stay. Jimmy, down. There'll be ample time for revenge.
Did he hurt you, Joshua?
Well, the biting was a bit painful, but I don't suppose I need the whole of my ear.
My friend, what you've just seen is yet another example of English hooliganism. How long do we sit back and allow these thugs to come into our establishments and gnaw on our ears?
Not too much longer.
Maybe another week or so.
It's got to stop. Well, let me tell you something. If it's a fight these mangy British dogs want with us, let it be a fair fight. A fight in a boxing ring. A fight sanctioned by Dan Oliphant Enterprises.
Yeah, what's a boxing ring?
And who better to fight for our cause than this strapping lad you see before you?
Me?
Yeah, good boy.
Who better to stand up against this hideous heap of British manure than Joshua Oliphant, your own gentle giant.
Hurrah for Joshua!
Three cheers for the gentle giant! Representing all of you against the forces of evil and oppression. Oh, my friends, you're going to see the fight of the century. And I just happen to have a few tickets left. These horrible Cockney monster versus the gentle giant foreman. Or leak you. Have your money ready. No livestock.
There will be no such contest.
But it's already sold out. Standing room only. And the gentle giant mustn't go back on his word.
Who?
The gentle giant. That's me. I can beat this Cockney monster. Uncle Dan says it's for liberty.
Liberty for him to line his greedy pockets. Listen, he's going to make a fortune. But what are you going to get out of it, huh?
Well, he's promised me some kittens if I win. And I can win. The Cockney monster's got a weakness.
And what would that be?
He's stupid.
Well, he may be stupid, but you're not exactly Benjamin Franklin.
But I have been hit by lightning.
Yeah. Too many times, son. Too many times.
See, I have a strategy, Father. I'm going to outwit him. All I need to do is pretend to be dead. And then when the idiot drops his guard, I take him by surprise.
And what if you really are dead?
Well, then I lose that surprise element.
How can I get through to you? Your Uncle Dan is using you.
That's right, Sam. That's right. Poison the wells.
Oh, well, you've not changed a bit, have you? More deceitful and predatory than ever.
Must we always start off on the wrong foot, Samuel? I come here hat in hand trying to rectify that wrong, trying to reunite our family, reestablishing the closeness I once felt towards my nieces, Cheryl and Martha.
Cora and Mary.
You've changed their names?
Would you classify destroying your own nephew as an example of that familial closeness you cherish?
Destroy? You mean glorify.
Family means nothing to you. Never has.
If that's true, then why have I traipsed several miles just to bring Joshua his bit of missing ear?
Oh, thanks, Uncle. What a great guy.
I will not allow you to place my son in danger.
Oh, nonsense. There's no danger. If I feed the monster a few live chickens before the match, his bloodlust will be sated. The worst that could happen to Joshua is he might lose a lung or two.
I forbid Joshua's participation.
Ooh, forbid.
I can beat the monster, Father. Out in the wilderness, I fight bears.
Yes, but bears are just animals. This man's from Stepney.
Well, I think Joshua should be allowed to decide whether he wants to fight for liberty in a way that would have made his mother proud.
Oh, that is just despicable.
You knew my mother?
Oh, yes, indeed. I was a good friend to Eleanor.
Elizabeth.
Father will never tell me anything about my mother.
You mean he hasn't told you that it was her dream you should grow up to become a boxer?
You snake.
Come to the tavern with me, lad, and I'll tell you more tales of Evelyn.
Elizabeth, don't go with him, Joshua.
I'll go with who I please. I am not a baby.
Joshua, please.
And I'll be picking up a chicken with a cock-a-doodle-doo. In my sack goes the chicken and the rooster with a hay on.
Why are you clumping around my barn, McGurk?
Oh, didn't see you there, sir. You're on the blind side. I just popped in here to...
Steal some more of my chickens?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Some poultry goes missing, so it's blame the old soldier. I didn't raid your hen house. Do you seriously think I could stoop so low?
Well, if you took your wooden leg off.
Well, you've got your bollocks in a twist today, and no mistake. What's the matter?
Oh, my nefarious brother has just hoodwinked Joshua into taking part in a prize fight. Just makes me uneasy. Just like my daughter and your captain getting entangled.
Oh, I know what you mean. That relationship's very worrying.
It certainly is.
I mean, if he's just after a quick shag, fair enough, no problems. But, I mean, what if he forms an emotional attachment?
You don't have any daughters, do you?
Yeah. So where's this boy yours fighting? I'd like to put a few bob on him. He's bound to win.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, he's a magnificent physical specimen, your boy. Strong as 10 men.
That's true. He can juggle pigs, you know.
I know, I've heard the squealing.
Yeah. Perhaps Joshua can beat this Jimmy Sludge.
Jimmy Sludge?
Yeah.
The Cockney monster.
Yeah, why, you know him?
Well, I watched him fight once. Well, I didn't actually watch, I had to look away. It was too gruesome.
You thought it too gruesome? Holy Moses.
Does your lad have any kind of strategy for dealing with the Cockney monster?
Yeah, he's going to outwit him.
We are talking about Joshua, aren't we?
He's going to play dead.
Ah.
What?
Well, it's just that, as I recall, Jimmy Sludge doesn't stop hitting someone just because they've died.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you got to get your boy to withdraw.
I've tried. He won't listen. There's kittens up for grabs.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, you'll have to murder your brother.
Murder my brother?
Yep. Problem over.
Something of a question about the morality of that, isn't there?
Oh, I'm not very good at questions about morality, sir. I'm good on horse racing, though. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ask me who was champion jockey in 1762. Go on.
No, look, see...
Compo Wilkins is the answer. Fantastic jockey. Only 2'6", but with thighs of steel.
Look, murder is not the answer. Maybe we can think of a way of saving Joshua if we just put our heads together.
Okie dokie.
Not that close.
Oh, how about here?
No. See, it's figurative.
Right.
Let's just think.
Ooh.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
Dee-be-dee-be-dee-be-dee-be-dee-be-dee.
Thinking.
Got it!
What?
Oh, no, that's murder again. Sorry.
This is exciting.
We were lucky to get tickets, cost a pretty penny.
Yeah, there's nowhere to sit, though.
Well, what do you expect? We're in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, but I thought there'd be chairs. The seat numbers on the tickets seem to suggest that.
Yes, but isn't this thrilling? Being witness to the biggest athletic event in Baltimore's history. Yes.
What about when they hung Moses Claypool?
Oh, yeah, that was good. But that wasn't really athletics per se.
Oh, fun, though.
Yeah. Well, I grant you that, but not athletics, okay?
I hear this Cockney monster's frightening.
Well, he's a monster. Otherwise, I'd call him the Cockney Ordinary Person.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Dan Oliphant production. Before we begin, please check your ticket stub. If a red star appears in the back, you've just won a year's supply of cows. Anybody? No? Too bad. Oh, hold on. It's me.
Amazing. I never win anything.
Hey, get on with it. And so we shall. Meanwhile, wagering booths are still open. Those of you who haven't put your money on the gentle giant should do so in all haste.
Where is the gentle giant?
Yeah, we don't see him anywhere.
We don't see anything.
Give us some action!
Blood! You'll get your action.
Who's that? Hello, Robert, Jack, and Peter. Nice to see you boys all illegally assembled. Let's hope the redcoats don't.
What finagling are you up to? Where's Joshua?
My fellow townsmen, I'm afraid Joshua, the gentle giant, is unable to appear tonight.
No, we want our money back, but we still want blood!
Why, you devious little...
So there will be no fight. Thank you and good night. Walk home safely, and please, these are your woods, so pick up your rubbish.
What about our money?
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Your friends have wagered heavily, good brother. I see a simple solution to the dilemma into which my brother has so selfishly placed us. And that solution is the Cockney Monster versus the Puny Shopkeeper.
I have a better idea. What about the Puny Shopkeeper versus the Slippery Scoundrel?
Brother against brother is always a crowd pleaser.
Here to meet your maker. Brother.
We'll get our blood now. Blood and buckets of blood.
Oh, sit down, Vicar.
Shove it, brother.
Hold still, Father, while I apply this poultice.
Oh.
Can you open your eyes yet?
They are open. I just can't see him behind the swollen cheekbone.
We'll have to order you some new teeth.
Like something in mahogany.
Heavens, your body's black and blue, caked in blood. Just look at the state you're in.
Good thing I won.
So where's Uncle Dan now?
He's strapped naked to a mule and probably somewhere in Massachusetts by now.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Arbuthnot. I thought I recognized the smell of mildew.
So you actually watched this barbaric spectacle?
I certainly did. Talk about entertainment. That uncle of yours fought one hell of a dirty fight. Real devious and sneaky and underhand. Well, till Samuel hit him with the shovel.
You hit your brother with a shovel?
That was a defensive parry.
A defensive parry in the face.
Well, I had to do something. The vicar was about to hand him a pickaxe.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Good heavens. Mr. Oliphant, what happened to your face? You've got no eyes.
Yet another intrusion. Get out, man. This is a family matter.
Oh, yeah? Then what's she doing here?
Mrs. Arbuthnot is here because... Well, actually, why are you here, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
I came to buy some of these pickled walnuts, which I hear are a potent aphrodisiac.
Yeah, well, if you're buying them for my benefit, don't bother, you lecherous old harpy.
Oh, I'm not wasting any more time on you, Stumpy. I got me a date with Jimmy Sludge.
But he's a raging animal.
Yeah. So long, folks.
Who's Jimmy Sludge?
I thought I told you to get out.
Well, I only called by to give you some urgent news of your brother.
What news about my brother?
Well, it's the strangest thing, but early this morning I was summoned to the stockade where young Joshua had been found shackled to the rear wall of the fort.
Oh, really? I'm shocked.
So am I.
Yes, he'd clearly been there all night. And what's more, the poor lad appears to have been drugged by someone.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, who would do such a terrible thing?
Well, that's what I've been asking myself, but I just can't work it out.
It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, sir.
Well, why didn't you bring my brother with you, you great barrel-chested lump?
Because he's still groggy, madam. Delirious, in fact. Just keeps babbling about monsters and kittens.
Go fetch my brother this instant. Get him out of your stinking British hellhole and bring him home to the bosom of his family.
Yes, of course. I'll...
And after you've done that, I suppose you'll want to subject me to another of your outrageous interrogations down by the stream that runs through the orchard.
Well, now you mention it, I am... No, I don't, madam.
Well, of course you do, you ruffian.
Very well, if you insist.
Now get out!
Yes, sir. Come, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
I'm not smiling. Now hold still while I try and fish your brother's tooth out of your cheek.
Ow! Ow!
You know, Father, this sorry incident has made me pause for thought. The symbolism of you and your own brother having beaten each other to a pulp in many ways reflects what I feel about, well, about us and the English. They're our brothers. They have families. They have hopes and dreams just as we do. Prick them, and do they not bleed? Our cannonballs will knock off their heads as surely as theirs will ours. So then why are we so determined to fight them?
Why, indeed?
Because we hate the scum-sucking bastards, that's why. I guess I've answered my own question. They're all vermin.
Except for one of them, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, Father. Now be still, or my hands will shake and this molar will be embedded in your face forever.
This is going to hurt, isn't it?
Like the devil.
Well, then I'll be needing something to numb and deaden my senses.
Felicitations, brethren. God's blessings on you all.
That's just perfect, thank you.
Cora, dearest, are you down there in the cellar?
I am, my beloved spouse.
Oh, I finally found you, you scamp. Playing hide-and-seek, were you? Come to bed now, my mischievous Petunia.
I still have some chores I must do.
What chores are there at 12 o'clock?
Laundry.
Laundry? But you launder 5 times a day. My clothes are as clean as a whistle.
Yes, but mine are in need of a good midnight wash.
Dear, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were avoiding me. I insist you come to the conjugal bed.
Oh, very well, husband. I obey.
You do? Oh, joy of joys! I'll light the fire.
Then you'll need some wood chopped.
No!
Just a couple of trees, husband, and then I'm gone.
God damn it!